Okay, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. I am out in the middle of the Mekong. Cambodia is on my left, Laos is on my right, and dead ahead I'm looking at two, maybe three dolphins, Irrawaddy dolphins, who are frolicking in this pool that's just below the area called Sipandan, the 4,000 Islands. It's a popular tourist destination in Laos. And that's where basically the Mekong splits into seven or eight different channels and then comes back together here. Now, about a kilometer, about three-quarters of a mile up this channel up here, that's where they're going to put this proposed Don Sahong Dam. And that's the one environmentalists say if they do put it in, it's going to have a devastating impact on the fish population here and may mean the end of the dolphin population here as well.
Our boatman chugs up the channel in question, the Hoosahong, passing a few other fishermen along the way, and just a few hundred meters later, we come to the proposed Don Sahong site. There's not much to see. It's a fast-moving section of water, about 50 meters across, bounded by thick jungle on either side. It's one channel among many here, which begs the question, why is damming this channel so worrisome to environmentalists? And the answer is, they say it's pretty much the only one fish can use in the dry season. Pyan Porn Dite is based in Bangkok with the group International Rivers.
Hoosahong Channel is the most important channel for fish to navigate, to migrate upstream and downstream all year round. Of course, there are many other channels on that 4,000 island area, but other channels have big rapids or waterfall, so it's not suitable for dry season.
Nonsense, says Peter Hawkins. He's the environmental manager for the Don Sahong project.
The Hoosahong is not some special magical channel which fish immediately identify and travel through. The Hoosahong is one of the pathways, but there are others. So it's completely false to say that Sahong is the only channel that fish can move through year-round.
Hawkins says there are at least two other channels used by migrating fish in the dry season, and he says his company is helping modify those channels as well, in addition to building fish passageways around the proposed Don Sahong site to allow fish to migrate freely.
We are constructing, designing and building bypasses. That means that we are identifying channels which are shallow or they have small rapid in them, and we are deepening at those particular points. There's key points that we can identify where the fish are held up, and our strategy is to just keep on doing that, to keep on providing new alternative pathways.
Not everyone is convinced, especially locals who've lived and fished in the area for generations, like this man who's too afraid of his own government to give his name.
In this area, they have only fishmen. We export the fish in this area every season. So if they have hydrocarbon, then all the people, no more job, no more fishing.
You think there will be no more fish left after the dam is built?
Yeah, no more fishing after dam.
What would happen if you spoke out against the dam, if you told the government, we don't want the dam here? What would happen?
So we have no against. If they do thing, they do, and then we follow them.
You don't get to say no.
No, we cannot say no.
He makes a quick slashing gesture as he says this, a reminder that the one-party communist state brooks no opposition, though it is in theory supposed to consult with its neighbors, Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam, before it decides to build. But that hasn't happened. Not here, and not with the even larger dam under construction farther upstream, the Sayaburi, that environmentalists say will have a far worse environmental impact than the Don Sahong. Pyan Porn Dite of the group International Rivers quotes a study commissioned by the Asian Development Bank.
According to the ADB in 2010, around 55% of the fish in the Mekong River will be affected.
The group says as many as 43 species of fish are likely to go extinct because of the Sayaburi, including the Mekong giant catfish, one of the world's largest freshwater fish. The mitigation measures the dam builders have employed to allow fish passage, bypass channels, fish ladders, even an elevator, environmentalists say, are ill-conceived at best and afterthought at worst. And fish migration is just one issue, sedimentation is another. the dirt or silt the river carries downstream to Cambodia and Vietnam, the so-called rice bowl of Southeast Asia. Silt the dam could prevent from making its way south, stressing the already shrinking Mekong Delta even more. Mark Goisho is with the World Wildlife Fund's Greater Mekong Program.
Both the impacts of fish migration and on sediment are very serious, and mitigation measures have not been demonstrated because of important data gaps and because there is no precedent of success of mitigation of this kind in any large tropical river in the world.
But the Laos government remains unconvinced, undeterred, and defiant. In a strongly worded editorial last month, Virapong Viravong, the Lao Deputy Minister of Energy, accused dam opponents of fear-mongering and insisted mitigation measures in place would actually help increase fish population in the river. Downstream neighbors Cambodia and Vietnam are skeptical. Like the environmentalists, they want the project suspended for further review. Laos says that isn't going to happen. The WWF's Mark Goisho fears the worst.
The Mekong Delta is highly sensitive to changes of sediment delivery from the basin, that the impacts of Sayabuli will be cumulative, rapid, and serious, with socio-economic as well as environmental consequences for Cambodia and Vietnam that will be possibly massive.
The Sayabuli is more than halfway completed. Construction on the Don Sahong Dam on the border with Cambodia is just beginning. I'm Michael Sullivan on the Mekong.